Running Rich Safety podcast is proudly sponsored by our friends at X-Miles. They're the one-stop pit stop nutrition shop for all of your nutritional needs. From Striker to Stroop Waffles, from Morton to Mountain Fuel, they've got it all down at X-Miles, and you don't even have to go to the shop. You can go onto their website, which is xmiles.co.uk, and order to your heart's content. And the best thing about X-Miles is they have this incredible build a nutrition plan feature, where basically you put in your race, you put in how far it is, how long you reckon it's going to take, how much you weigh, and it works out how many carbohydrates and calories you need before, during and after. And you can basically add products to your list, and it will tell you exactly how many calories, carbohydrates, proteins, fats, sugars, fibres, salts, caffeines, potassium, sodiums you're getting, which makes life very fucking easy and stops you from having to read the tiny, tiny writing on the back of the packets. X-Miles have given us a discount code. It is 10%, which is actually quite a lot when you're ordering in bulk. And the best thing about this is you can do it as a kind of pick and mix. So you don't need to order 26,000 Morton gels to get free delivery. You can get basically a couple of them, a couple of Stroop waffles. I'm obsessed with Stroop waffles. A couple of bits of scratch, a couple of pH gels, whatever it is that you want to put in your bucket. Make a little delicious basket and then get it delivered free with that 10% discount, which is quite a lot when you are ordering in bulk. My cupboard currently looks like an X-Miles storeroom because I just really do like ordering things and getting loads of money off. So go to the X-Miles website, xmiles.co.uk, order what you need, put in the discount code RWSY10 for 10% off, and away you go. As you've probably realised, this podcast does contain swearing. It contains chats about mental health. It contains chats about sometimes about suicidal ideation. It's very, very honest, and it's definitely not the sort of thing you want to put on in the car during the school run. You have been warned. Let's crack on. Bailey, welcome to the Running Won't Save You podcast, series 4, episode 7. I'm here with my co-host, Kirsty Reid.
Hello.
And today's headlines: Hoker a twats, KMF, I've got a new book out, and is it okay to eat crisps for breakfast? It's a packed show.
Wow. Mm. I mean, even I'm interested in this, and I'm meant to know what it's about.
Do you know what I'm interested in? The fact that my fringe looks like someone's attacked me in the night and cut it too short. I know this is an audio medium, everybody, but I do look like Milhouse from Simpsons this morning.
So does anybody who's never seen you, which is unlikely because you're all over the place, aren't you?
Yeah, I am splashed across the tabloids, like the Lily Allen of endurance running.
And they've just been listening to this podcast to build up a picture of what you look like. It's fringe like Milhouse, otherwise looks like Big Daddy.
Yeah, face like a thumb. Look at your thumb and imagine putting a little bit of black hair on the top. And then the body of Big Daddy in a nappy.
For the under 40s, Big Daddy was a wrestler, like a big wrestler who wore a nappy in the 1980s.
I'm not sure that's okay. I just feel like Big Daddy would have been cancelled.
Okay.
Let's Talking of that. Which, the other week we were on a little jaunt with the girls, and we all started. You actually had taken the sensible option to not be on that site, that jaunt. You were at home with the dog, having a lovely time, and we remembered that song by Black Lace, that Macho Man. Spray. Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
So we're considering recording a ultra version for Christmas.
Great. Oh, I mean, I just think that's so classy. Like when people do like a novelty single like that, just like a really, really niche, like cliquey thing that they think everyone's going to find really funny.
I think it would be hilarious for about 0.002% of the population.
And then you just, yeah, and then you just feel so embarrassed.
Would we, or would we be proud? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, what have you been doing this week?
Well, mainly last week I was doing KMF, which was Kendal Mountain Festival, a big festival of literature and film and adventure talks in Kendal, which is where I live. And I saw Holly Stables and Pete Stables. Yeah, but
Dream
literally bumped into
God.
them in the street.
Oh my God.
It was amazing. It
God,
was
did you
like,
ask for a selfie?
I didn't because I'm not very good at that sort of thing. But it was really, really nice to see them. And I was with John and John, who work for Vertebrate Publishing, and they know Pete through, he's done like a strength training chapter for a book we've got coming out next year. And the first thing they said to him was, "You're not as big as I thought."
I
What?
thought they'd say you're a big lad.
Yeah, well, he is. I mean, he is a big lad. He's a
That's why you
very.
bumped into him, because he's a big
Yeah, you
lad.
couldn't help but bump into him on a dual carriageway.
Yeah,
But
man, mountain. It's just pure muscle.
he is a man mountain. He's absolutely ripped, isn't he? But I think afterwards they were a bit embarrassed about what they'd said. And
Can't
also
believe they
such a.
said that. Which did they say that in unison, or did one of them say it? I bet it was Big John that said it, right?
Yeah, obviously it's John Barton, second mention of the
It's John
series.
Barton. I thought it'd be Cofield.
Yeah, I can't remember actually which one it was, but they both agreed on it. But yeah, so in the context that in his pictures, he's like obviously just wearing shorts and a vest, and you can see all his muscles and they're rippling everywhere. And so I suppose like if you see him walking down the road in a fleece and some jeans, it's probably not as impressive. But it's just such a man thing to say. You can't imagine another woman going up and going, "Thought you'd have been bigger. Thought you'd have been smaller, can you?"
Oh, you're a lot fatter than you look at your pictures. Thank you. Thank you.
That's not what they meant. They meant muscles,
They
obviously.
needed, they meant
But
muscles.
yeah, it was quite funny. But it was lovely to see Holly as the other co-host.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. What else happened at the KMF? Any exciting bants?
Well, it's quite worky for me. Like, I have a lot of authors there. So I went to some author events and met up with lots of authors. It was really nice. But it's just, I think, like, for most people, it's just a really nice opportunity to meet up with people they don't see very often and people you maybe like tangentially know. Like, you know, when they.
Tangentially?
Sorry.
What does that mean?
Just like not directly know, but they're like friends of friends or whatever. So
Never
you'd
used
have an
that.
absolute nightmare there. You'd just be like walking around meeting, you know, harmless fans of the sport and just yeah. But no, it's really, really nice. So there were people from my writers group there in Kendal, which was lovely to see them. There were some of my authors doing talks. There were people I'd never heard of that went to their talks, and it was great. There was a 17-year-old lad on, Marcus Skeet, I think his name is, who did Le Jog.
Oh, piss off, Marcus.
No,
I'm joking.
Ali.
Of course, I'm joking.
Oh my God, he did it for Mind. God, what's wrong with you? You're just a
I
monster.
need to have a look at his mind.
No, but he's not a runner. He's really struggled with his mental health. He's not a runner. He just ran almost like randomly chose this thing to do, and he's really funny. And they
Oh, is
said,
he
"Yeah, I know."
funny? Take it back. Take it all back. As long as he's got a bit of funny, that's all right.
Oh God, you're
I
such.
hate worthy teenagers. They get on my tits.
He's not worthy at all. He was just a funny dude. He was just a very
Good.
funny lad. And they were just saying, "Oh, what are you doing running wise now?" And he's just like, "I still hate it. I just still really hate it."
Oh, I love him. Maybe he could come to my book launch.
No, genuinely, I think he'd love it. He's just
Brilliant.
like a.
He could be the interviewer for the book launch.
You know
Why have
when
you written this?
people
And
there
no
are.
one likes running.
But there are a lot of people who do talks at those events, and they're completely like inauthentic. Do you know what I mean? And they're like, "I'm just
That's
going to
what I
say this,"
mean. That's
but
what I
he's
mean.
utterly guileless. He was just like without agenda, without anything. He was just like, "Oh, I can't believe it. I'm like a lad from Hull. I can't believe I'm here." And he was just, yeah, it was just a breath of fresh air in that kind of can be a very, I don't know, just a very inauthentic, like, "Oh, I've done this, and here's five lessons from going up Everest," or whatever.
Hey man, I don't want to slag off KMF because I'm talking it for the other KMF in May.
You're talking at Keswick Mountain Festival,
It's
aren't you?
still a KMF. I just said the other KMF because
Oh,
they're both
okay.
KMF, aren't they? They need to sort that shit out. I get very confused. Anyway, but sometimes when you go to these things and you're in a work capacity, which mainly we both are, right? I don't go to for pleasure. Because I don't find that pleasurable, unfortunately, everybody anymore. I used to do it for work, so I don't like it. There's this shoulder watch thing. Did you get that? Where you're with people and they're just looking behind you to see if there's anybody else, see if Jason Fox walks in or Jay Morton's coming or Ben Fogle's just gone to the toilet so they can go in there and try and get a selfie with him.
There was a little bit of that. At one point, I was talking to one of our authors, and this woman from a brand just came up and just went, "Oh, hi!" And like just literally ignored me
What to the
and just like
author?
stepped in front of me. Yeah, and I just thought, no, just no. But
The
yeah, no,
older
ignored
I
me for a bit
get,
of that.
the less I can cope with that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's just rude, and it just, and I think maybe that's probably my, I don't know, I think maybe there's some trauma there from having to go to big events and stuff. I just feel a bit like, you know, when you're like, there's loads of people around, but I feel really lonely. I feel like that in big spaces like that. I find that quite difficult. I did do a talk at that one, the other
Yeah,
one,
you did. Yeah,
your one
yeah.
once, but yeah, I mean, it's nice that people in the from the outdoors all get together, isn't it?
It was. And do you know what? It's a good example of the awkward first half hour.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
It's a good
those.
example of how I became an alcoholic as well.
No, but those like I go to these things on my own. And you know, it's the same as like if you go to a conference or something for work or whatever, and for that first half hour, you're just fighting it, aren't you? Just like, oh, I don't want to be here. I just want to be at home with my dog. I don't want to have to talk to strangers. Everyone's going to think I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about. And yeah, you have to really fight it, don't you?
Yeah, I went to do a talk with for Levi's in Frankfurt last week, and I was like, I did a Zoom with them, and I was like being me because I can't be anyone else. And after the Zoom, I was like, I can't be me on this. It's not going to work. But when I got there, actually, I was really worried about it, and like, and I got there, and I was like, oh fuck it, I'm going to have to really switch on the charm here. But actually, when I got in there and started talking to them, they were all really nice, and it was like, oh, I can actually be me. And they were like, we just want you to be you. And I was like, oh, that's such a relief. But it was like sitting in the foyer waiting for the woman who'd booked me to come down for that half hour of all these beautiful people in beautiful Levi's, like with hair. And there was a girl wearing sunglasses inside, and she actually looked quite cool. I was like, this is not my place. This is not for me. Yeah, that awkward half hour, that's where my alcoholism came in, because I couldn't cope with my own thoughts. They were too loud, so I ended up just drinking them away and then mostly acting like a bellend. So fulfilling the prophecy that I was a bellend. But sometimes being extraordinarily charming and witty, because people didn't know. So.
Yeah, but you can do that without the alcohol you discovered.
Some people can.
I never knew in the drinking days, so I only know the naturally witty and charming
Oh,
Ali
do you know
Bailey.
what? That's funny. Sometimes I forget that lots of my friends now don't only know me when I'm sober. They don't know, didn't know me back then. In fact, I can't think of anyone in the running world apart from Raz, who is running Sucks on Instagram. He lives in LA. He knew me during the drinking days very well. Can't think of anyone else.
Well, Pickle. I mean, Pickle's told me some stories.
Oh yeah, Pickles. Yeah, Pickles. Mummy was hitting the bottle quite hard. Oh,
Oh,
she was
Pickle.
good fun though, because she would go for walks in
To
the middle of the night. Maybe she tied me up
the
outside petrol station, but
off
okay, don't tell people that. I had a fight with Hoka this week talking of alcohol.
Oh, yeah, go on, tell me all about this. Could I miss this?
Fight. My one of my athletes, John, he sent me a link to an Instagram post that Hoka put up with, "Is this a joke?" And basically, and it was a, there was a Strava group too, and it was something like the After Run Pints Club. Basically, this video, which they put on Instagram, was a reel of people being like, I think that the After Run pint is severely underrated. Yeah, pints, 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 2 pints, 8 pints, bottle of wine, glass of wine, pints. But nobody mentioned soft drinks. And the whole thing was, we go for a run and then we have a well-earned pint of alcohol, right?
Yeah.
Nobody mentioned Coca-Cola or orange juice or anything else. Nobody mentioned. Just mentioned beers. I am a runner and I have a glass of wine. That's nice. But the whole thing was like, join the Hoka Pints Club or whatever it is. And people underneath were commenting, and Hoka were liking their comments. Like, I love a beer after a run. And Hoka were like, yeah, beer. And it was like,
How
okay.
many beers can you drink?
Yeah, hydrating. Yeah, poisoning yourself. Yeah, pretending that everything's okay when actually you're a functioning alcoholic and you're masking it with your running. Yeah.
I've done part run. I'm going to have 12 pints.
Yeah, park run and a bottle of whiskey. Yeah. Right? Share it with friends. Why not? Actually, don't, because someone might find out. So I was like, hang on a minute. Like, guys, if you're one of those millions of people that can have one drink and go, oh, fucking good on you. I wish I could do that, but I can't. Lots of people can't. There are very many people that can't do that. Now, the reason I can't do that, it's not because of a lack of willpower or self-control, as somebody in the comments suggested. It is because I have deep, deep emotional trauma, which I'm trying to hide by drinking it away. So the alcohol is not the problem. The alcohol is the solution for me. And I had great social anxiety and I didn't know how to function in the world. And that's why I did it, right? And so when I started going to trail run races and do trail running and there were beers afterwards, I was like, this is great. I could literally hide in plain sight here because I would have a drink with everybody, but I wouldn't have a drink with them all at the same time. So I'd go from group to group. So I'd manage to get 8 pints in when everyone thought I was just having a pint. And I did that very successfully for a really long time. I even would have sports rosé on a run and I would tell people I was having it and they would laugh and think I was very funny, whereas actually I was deeply sad. And I was able to run those long distances with that alcohol in my system because I didn't feel anything because I'd numbed every single aspect of my personality, my emotions, and my body. For further reading, see my book, There Is No Wall. And also, if you don't
Birchmead
believe me,
Publishing.
Birchmead Publishing, if you go to their website, I believe you get something like 10% off. I don't know. Black Friday, it's actually more expensive. Anyway, Oprah were liking everybody's comments, but I was like, hang on a fucking minute. I actually didn't say hang on a fucking minute. I didn't swear because I thought that is base, isn't it? I said, is this a joke? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? I don't understand why you're doing this. Like, alcohol has no place in sport. It's a poison. And there's lots of people that can't be part of this group for various reasons, whether they're addiction or whether they're religious or whether they just don't drink or whether they're underage. Because Hoka's massive. It's a multi-million pound company. What are you doing? I didn't say what the fuck. I was really careful with my language because I've been told off by trolls before for swearing in posts. So they're like, well, if you can't even do a post without swearing, that just shows how fucking stupid you are.
And
Then it's
swearing in a book, you
then
got
it's
told
then
somebody
it's
returned it, didn't they?
they returned the audiobook, yeah.
Oh,
I don't know how you do that. You squeeze it out of your ears, back into the pot. Anyway, I wrote this comment and then I was furious, right? And Hoka didn't like it or comment on it, even though they were commenting on everybody else's, right? They just didn't address
that's
it.
weird.
So weird, isn't it? But the
Yeah.
problem was lots of people were liking the comment. So I
Oh.
think probably in the end about like 50 people liked it. And I was getting more and more annoyed about this thing because then there was a couple of people that started trolling me, like, relax. There was one guy who's a known troll who was like, relax, it's just an ad. Some of us have got self-control and willpower and can just have one. And I was like, actually, Marco, I've talked about Marco before, addiction's got nothing to do with self-control or willpower. Except you have to have quite a lot of self-control, willpower to be an addict, to be a functioning addict,
And not to kill people like Marco.
yeah, because you can't go into work hammered. You've got to go into work on a level, and it's hard to stay an addict. It's really hard to hide it. So actually, the self-control, willpower comes in being the addict, not in stopping. And then I went back to have another look at it. I thought I'm gonna record the screen, right, so I can get a good, so I can talk about this on the podcast. But it had gone. The reel had gone.
Where had it gone? Has someone returned it for swearing?
You know me, Kirsty. I'm just a simple woman. I must have imagined the whole thing. When brands do this, or anyone does this, I feel like it's gaslighting. They haven't left it and addressed it. They've just taken it down with no justification. I was like, well, they must be about to justify it, right? Now, first off, who's approved this? Who said this is a good idea? Because in marketing, for big brands like Hoka, there will be a massive marketing team, and then they would have employed someone to come up with that ad campaign, right? And I'm pretty sure there was a Strava group, and to buy a Strava group or a Strava, what they called it, a Strava event. You know, when they're like, it's the Valentine's Day 10K with,
Oh, yeah, on Strava,
yeah,
yeah.
to buy that is like 10 grand, isn't it? It's really expensive to like, organize one of those for Strava. So, and that gone. I was like, there's no trace of this at all. And then I got a message from fucking Hoka. Hi, Ali. It's an AI message, I'm sure it is. Thank you for taking the time to reach out through my
Had
Instagram stories.
you sent them a message
No, I put
before?
it, I put up three stories where I was
Right.
tagging Bearman, Hoka EU and Hoka, normal Hoka.
Yeah.
Hi, Ali. Thanks for taking the time to reach out. We genuinely appreciate you sharing how the post made you feel. Our intention was to highlight a light-hearted moment of how some people in our community choose to unwind after months of work and preparation. For some, that might be a pint, but for others, it could be a coffee, an orange juice, or simply spending time with friends. At no point in that reel was there a coffee, an orange juice, or simply spending time with friends. The other thing is, in my posts, I'd said, why not go for a coffee or an orange juice or shopping with friends? It's fucking AI. They've just taken the words and put them into the reply. At Hoka, we aim to celebrate individuality and community. And we encourage people to make the choices that best support their own well-being, always in a responsible way. At no point was drink responsibly said. At no point did they say, was anybody saying, I don't drink, but I still go to the pub. No point. It was all booze, booze, booze.
Did they say when the fun stops, stop?
No, they didn't. We've taken the post down as we can see the message wasn't received by some in the way we intended. And it's important to us that our content reflects the inclusive, community-first values we stand for. So it's not their fault, Kirsty. It's my problem. It's our problem. Because we haven't taken it in the way it was intended. So there's
Well,
no, they've not done it.
silly, silly
Silly,
us.
silly us. Yeah. They've not done anything wrong. They've done nothing wrong. It's us, right? Thank you again for raising this with us. Your feedback helps us stay aligned with the community we're here to support. All the best, your Hoka team.
So have you bought some Hokas now? Has that made you want to buy some Hokas?
Started drinking booze out of Hokas like
I
Tom Evans, drinking whiskey. Ever drunk Baileys from a shoe? I have. Right? That'll be the next advert.
it's a shame, isn't it, that that couldn't become a discussion, that it couldn't open, particularly at this time of year, that people couldn't say, oh, do you know what, that message could be really damaging for some people, and actually, we don't want to kind of link running and drinking
No, that's such
alcohol.
a good point. It's like that could have become okay, this has been raised with us, and now we can see that we made a mistake. So we'd like to highlight if you feel like you maybe are drinking too much or this has triggered you or something, we'd like to highlight the places you can go and get some help. That would be owning your shit, wouldn't it? That would be saying, okay, really haven't thought about this. I absolutely understand that there are some people that can have. Lots of people that can just have a drink and that doesn't affect them. But there's also lots of people in ultra running who are doing it to help them to recover and who are doing it to help them with their mental health and are doing it to help them be in a safe, healthy space away from that stuff where they can talk to people about how they feel. Going down the pub and talking about it over beers doesn't work because I've tried that. It doesn't work because you're numbed and all you're thinking about is the alcohol. It's just what happens when you're an addict, right? But I replied to them and I said to them, if your intention was to highlight how some people unwind, why was it exclusively about alcohol? Alcohol is a stimulant and a depressive, and it doesn't help people unwind at all. Running does that, drinking does not. There was hardly any running in this video. I didn't see or hear anything about coffee or chats or orange juice, just a load of bros basically shouting pints, pints, pints. Why was it called Pub Club or whatever god-awful name you gave it? This post was anything but inclusive or community first. It was cliquey and gross, and it alienated a big part of your audience who don't drink for personal, medical, religious, or age reasons. Why can't you just apologise and say you got it wrong rather than try to justify what was a huge fuck up? There's no place for alcohol in sport. Do better. Do you know what the reply to that was?
What?
There wasn't one.
Oh, because the AI couldn't cope with that.
AI bot was like, his brain was like, what do I write now? Why can't people go, right, what's the best way to do this? We have fucked up. It wasn't just me, there was other people there as well saying, this is just not cool. Because there isn't a place for it. It's like gambling. It's like saying, guys, we love going down Ladbrokes after and putting a bit of money on the horses. Or, hey, we love going and doing a cheeky line of fucking coke in the bogs down the fucking running track. Or we love sharing a Marlboro Light outside the fucking gym. Yeah, we after a session, we like to pump roids into our system. It's a community thing. We buy it off our dealer and all share the roids.
Kendall Kett Club.
Kendall Ket Club.
But okay, so
I might call the podcast that. I think we'll get lots of new listeners.
here's a question then. So okay, there are some like breweries that actually do this quite well, aren't there? So there's one in Bristol, because I remember this when we were looking at the book launch for the last book.
Guys, I had a book launch in a brewery in a tap room.
But we did it. They were a brewery that had loads of no alcohol or low alcohol beers, and
On
actually,
tap. So
and
good.
we that's why we chose that particular brewery, and they were great. And I would be really surprised if they sold much alcohol that night, because it was just like everyone was there having a good time drinking no alcohol beer, and it just kind of proved it's not about the alcohol, is it? But so there's is it left-handed something? That have a run, like a big brewery in Bristol that have a run club,
Oh, yeah.
And it's really successful, and they get lots of people there. And I don't think it's really about the pints, pints, pints. But it's like it shows there's a way of doing it, isn't there? Where you can actually balance out Left-Handed Giant, is it, or something like that?
Left-handed giant, yeah. Yeah, left-handed giant run club.
Yeah, and it's massive. It's massive. So I wonder, I
Yeah.
just wonder how they do it right, and how they make it a social thing without linking it to
Well, I'll tell you what they
pints,
do.
pints,
They
pints.
do it with, they've got a cafe, they've got a meet up at the brewery, they've got a lot of it's at the cafe. And yeah, and the other thing is this is none of it's called the left-handed giant run club. It doesn't actually say brewery in it. Now, some people don't do the alcohol-free thing because they think it will trigger them into drinking, and I don't completely understand that. I'm not a massive fan of it, but if I'm out being social, I will have a zero beer because I just enjoy having zero beer. I because of what's happened to me, there is absolutely I don't think there is any way I'll have a relapse except when I'm very emotionally distraught, but I haven't yet done that. But some people can't do alcohol-free beer. But the thing is, if you look at alcohol-free beer, like Erdinger, it's basically a sports drink. It's like Lucozade. It's got sugar and carbs and all that in it. The alcohol is just a painkiller, but the alcohol is the addictive part of it. So I do. There will be an argument with people like you shouldn't have it in a brewery. You shouldn't have anything like that anywhere near a brewery. But it's the way that what they focus on, whether they're focusing on the exercise and the running club, or whether they're focusing on the booze. And this advert focused on the fact that there's a club that all go for booze, alcohol filled booze after running, and that is a thing they look forward to. And they kept talking about deserving it or earning it. Oh, after a hard run, you've earned a beer. What have you earned? You have
That and
not.
that's
It's not about earning anything. It's like saying you're
that's
earning
just
food.
that yeah, exactly. I was gonna say that's exactly the same as that argument, like, oh, I can have a cake because I've earned it. It's like, no, you need food to fuel your brain. You need
Yeah, you can
food
have a
to
cake
fuel
whenever you want, and you
your
don't need to
living
feel guilty about
processes.
it. Yeah, like you can have a beer whenever you want. It just hits different. So's a fucking pint of lemonade or orange juice and lemonade or a fucking Lucozade. Like, you're not giving people choice. It's just, it did my. For a company that's that big and has that much sway, it fucked me off.
It's kind of unbelievable, isn't it?
It is
It's just
completely
not a good
unbelievable.
message, and it's unbelievable that somebody at some point didn't go, "Oh, are we sure about this?"
Should we ask some people? Just a thought. Should we? There was a lot of athletes in there being like, yeah, pints. And it's like, do you know what? I just can't deal with it. And I think the point of this is the hard thing, in the hard thing. Thing, a hard thing, thing, is that when you stand up for to things you don't believe in, you get shit off people. And when you stand up to things you don't believe in as a recovering addict, you get shit off people. And they say there's something wrong with you. You've got something wrong with you that you can't have this. You've ruined it.
You're spoiling our fun.
You're spoiling our fun. And I'm not spoiling anyone's fucking fun. I will still go to the pub. But what I won't do is see big brands endorsing it as something that we have to do in order to fit in. Because that's how society works, Christmas, you have to drink to fit in. If you don't drink, you're not going to have a good time. You won't be able to socialise. You won't be able to do this. You won't be able to do that. That's bollocks. You socialise so much better when you don't drink. Do you remember the other week when we were in the castle with the girls? How many of them had any alcohol that weekend?
I mean, to be fair, I found like there was a leftover wine box of warm white wine that had been there for an indiscriminate amount of time.
And you found a large bottle of Desperado at the back of a cupboard.
But I don't think any of them touched it. No, there was absolutely zero alcohol, and it wouldn't have crossed our minds really, would it? Because
No, and it wasn't even
we were too
like.
busy drawing pictures for a really questionable board game, weren't
Yeah,
we?
we were. Like, it didn't even. We had one night I got out a bottle of Nosecco and everyone was very excited about it. We had a glass of Nosecco. Everyone was free to do what the fuck they wanted. There was a garage. Go and get hammered if you want. Drink the Desperado. Have the warm Pinot Gringo. But nobody touched it because we don't need to have a fucking good time. We
No.
had such a good time. Like, I've not laughed in as that much in ages. It's but Mel Sykes is a brilliant artist. So's Hannah Rickman.
Hannah Rickman's good at everything. I'm determined to find the thing that she's not brilliant at. But no, it was really, really good weekend. Really good weekend.
Anyway, that's the end of that rant. Guys, what do you think? Actually, I do care what you think. I care very much. Maybe you could all email message Hoka and tell them they're a bunch of pricks.
I'd be interested with those sort of things. Like, do people see them like you and say, "Oh God, that just feels really wrong," but I'm not going to do anything about it because I don't want to be a dick, or Or do pe are people genuinely going, oh yeah, good, that's a great message, lads, lads, lads? Or is it like a fawning response to not stand up for things? Do you know what I mean? A
Or
little
to
bit
want to be
like,
part of the crew. So somebody messaged me and said, I'd
yeah.
love to put that in the group. I'd love to put that there, but I'm scared that I'll get called out or trolled. And I'm like,
Yeah.
do you know what? I find it really hard with trolls because I know you need to leave, stop, you need to just ignore them. But I
Yeah.
get so angry with them. I can't, I need to talk to my therapist about it. So I always go back at them. And then I was like, oh, now I've entered into a fucking chat with Marco. He's going to end up, it's just going to be my day. All day is just going to be me trying to outsmart him. But trolls are smart. They're fucking smart.
And they don't have any feelings, do they? They just
No.
don't care, so they'll
No.
just say anything. But yeah, I just wonder whether it is one of those things, because it's quite easy, isn't it, when something is like so clearly wrong. Like if somebody put up a post and it was really heavily skewed towards like men running ultras or whatever, and it would be like, oh, the brutalist race for men in the world ever, whatever. I'm sure lots of men
Five
have.
things you can do to help women in ultra running. One, ask if they're lost. Two, offer them your jacket if they look cold. Three,
Sure.
tell them that the path ahead is slippery.
I did have somebody tell me that rocks could be slippery when they're wet in an ultra once, and also somebody said, "Are you okay crossing this stream?" When it was like an ankle deep stream, I was like, "Yes, I think I'm fine." But
I'll
and
lay down and you can run across my back.
that, but it was a couple of weeks after I'd done Cape Wrath, which had 100 river crossings.
Yeah. You basically had webbed hands and feet, it just showed it to them.
Yeah. But yeah, it's easy, isn't it, when it's something that's really, really clearly wrong, and it's really good. It's really easy for people to stand up and go, "Hey, guys, this is wrong. I'm adding my voice to this. It's wrong." But when it's a far more nuanced thing, like if you've got your own feelings around alcohol, or if you're part, like you say, like part of a crew of people who go to the pub a lot, you maybe don't want to put your head above the parapet and say, "Oh, actually, I don't think this is a very good message." So I'd be genuinely interested to know whether people did see it and thought, "Oh, do you know what? I don't think that's right," or what they think of it. Yeah, what they think of it now.
Couple of months ago, or actually it was about 6 months ago, Centurion, my favourites, one of my favourite race companies. I'm a Centurion ultra runner. I'm very proud to wear the yellow jersey. they had a beer sponsor come in, and I went mental. I got so upset about it, and I rang James Elson, the race director, in tears. And he was like, "Fucking hell!" They were giving out beers at the end of the race, and I think they were zero beers, but this company also made actual beers, and I was like, you're forcing people into a situation where they have to take a zero beer. And actually, for some people, that's very triggering because a zero beer you can be like, oh, do you know what? If I have a zero, I might as well have a full fat, especially when you're recovering, like, especially when you're fucking recovering. Zero beers have a place, but it's up to us recovering people to decide where that place is. And for some people, they don't have a place at all. I had a really long chat with James about it, and he said he was gonna talk to the community about it, and he said he would also make sure that they're offering other stuff at the finish, like water, squash, all that other tea, coffee, all that other stuff, so people weren't forced into taking this fucking beer, zero beer. And I know that a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I love amazing beer and running's brilliant. That's great if you can do beer and running as it is. But having been through what I've been through, there are so many people hiding this active addiction, and it just stunts your ability to be able to see what's real and what's not, because you're like, everyone's doing it, but everyone's not doing it like how I did it. People having one, and then they could go home, whereas I could not have one. And from writing the book, I've had so much feedback from people who are like, fucking hell, this is me. Triathletes, cyclists, runners. Still, every day, I said this all the time. I get emails probably two a week where people are like, you've literally looked deep into my soul, and I need to sort myself out. Or I've been so sober for 3 months because I've read your book. And that is such a gift to be able to give that to people. But what I remember is when I was enabled by running, or enabled by the sports industry, or enabled by the music industry, it's my problem, my addiction. It's my responsibility. But it isn't my fault. It's my responsibility, but it's not my fault. I'm wired wrong. And it's also my responsibility to maintain my sobriety, and it's my responsibility to call people out. Like, it's in my value system. So I always will. But it is the hard thing is coping with the comeback from it. And it's hurtful and difficult. And like, it's just people, selfishness. A lot of the time when you say to people, this is wrong, especially with alcohol, it holds a mirror up to their behavior, and they don't fucking like it. They just don't like it.
Yeah.
We'll stop now. Sorry, everybody.
That's good.
Hey.
That the it reminded me a little bit of the letter we had a couple of weeks ago about somebody in their running club who had entered Boston Marathon in the non-binary category fraudulently,
The Boston Bell End. We're not
and
allowed to call him that though, because he's non-binary, so.
they were kind of like, I don't know what to, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, you know, I'm in a group situation and like everyone thinks he's a great dude, and you know, any updates on that?
Well, we've got a few investigations going on.
We
We've
have.
got your investigation.
We've always got some quite secret investigations that we can't talk about.
You've done a good investigation and found out. I think the sentence you sent me was, "This dude's living in Narnia."
Was just particularly tickled by this guy because I looked up his, I
Sorry, he's
think he,
non-binary. We're quite tickled
sorry,
by them.
that I was tickled by them. I'm assuming his pronouns are they, them.
Them, yeah.
Sorry, I'm assuming their pronouns are they now. Yeah, I looked at some of his social media, and he referred to himself as a semi-professional ultra runner. And then
Wow! So
I
he's
looked at,
semi-professional. Surely he shouldn't have a problem qualifying for Boston.
and then I looked at his results, and it was he'd come, they'd come 500 and something in a trail marathon, not even an ultra. And I mean, I'm
What, a
pretty sure,
UTMB trail marathon?
yeah, no, not
They've
yeah,
come
one of.
586th at the Arc 25K.
It was like that. It just there were just so many things that rang. Like if you were dating this guy, it would just you would just phone up Netflix and say, "Oh hi, I've got an award-winning documentary coming your way."
When this guy walks into the first date, loads of people like at the bottom with red flags, they just pop out and do a dance with the red flags. How I just still am quite like baffled by how you could be a commercial pilot and a surgeon.
He's just amazing. And a
Thing.
semi-professional athlete.
And non-binary.
Sorry.
Like,
But anyway,
on
any
top of all of that, the man's
updates?
a campaigner. LGBTQ plus community. Incredible. We should get him on the pod. You're right. We should get him on. God, I wish I had the balls to do that.
It'd be funny,
I've
wouldn't
looked you up on LinkedIn and I was wondering if you'd come on to talk about your incredible
it?
running career.
Talk us through the many ultras that you've semi-professionally won.
So you do in Boston. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
What was your qualifying time? So no, we haven't
Yeah,
had an update. Would you like an update, please, from our anonymous? I didn't say their
okay.
name. From our anonymous emailer, we'd love an update. Now, I keep forgetting to do this, and I feel like it's well, I'm contractually obliged to do it. Although there's no contract, which is worrying. Fueled by X Miles, have you discovered any delightful snacks this week? Because I have.
So I took a lot of the X-Miles stuff on the recce, on not the recce, on the weekend in Wales that we had a couple of weekends ago. One of them was a very thick gloopy gel that I did not enjoy,
What was
but
it called?
fortunately, kind of, I can't remember the name of it. It was in a big white.
I know the one you mean. The big white longer boy that looks like a bit like
Yeah.
Sex Lube. Yeah, it's like called, I want to say True Form or something like
No,
that.
that's the Alistair Brownlee one, I think,
Oh, is
Truth
it?
Heals, which is nice. I like
Oh,
that
is
one.
it? Okay, sorry,
Yeah.
Alistair Brownlee, but really sorry about your health.
No, it was another one. I can't remember what it's called.
This is really helpful.
Sorry. The Striker stuff is
Yeah.
my favourite. Is that the rice bars?
Oh my God, I ordered 10 of those rice bars and they're dark chocolate. I can't stop. I just go to the cupboard and I'm like, I might have a rice bar now. They're not cheap. So I've got to stop doing that because that's becoming a bit like a cocaine habit. It'd be cheaper to go back to smoking cigarettes, I think.
Yeah, and actually, I've been experimenting with the drinks again. Cannot remember the names of them. This is
Sparkling
terrible.
drinks are so hard to get right, aren't they?
Yeah, there was a really nice lemon and lime one. I will find. I'll find it. I'll find it. Sorry, that wasn't very helpful.
This is a top tip from Hannah Rickman. Don't know if she's gonna like me telling you this because it might be a secret, but it's
She
not really a
doesn't listen. It's
secret.
fine.
Oh yeah. Cis beta fuel with nootropics. So the cis gels, they've got 40 grams of carbs in, but the ones with nootropics has also got 200 milligrams of caffeine in and taurine. It's shit yourself in a gel. But it's also 5K PB in a gel. They taste vile. There's an apple flavour one. I think it's a lemon and lime flavour one. You can get them off at X Miles. I've just ordered a box of 30 for the
So let me just recap. They make you shit yourself and
I haven't shit myself on them.
they
They look,
taste vile.
they taste like you will shit
This is
yourself.
the cell.
When I was drinking, I once went to Reading Festival. I mean, I've been to Reading Festival a number of times, but this time I went heartbroken and quite mentally ill. And I remember eating nothing and just drinking vodka and Red Bull for 4 days, right? It was called the Vodka and Red Bull's Misery Diet and smoking fags. I've never felt so anxious in my life. On the train on the way home, I nearly ate one of the seats out of anxiety. And when I tasted this gel, the taurine in it, I just was like, backstage at Reading Festival. It just tasted
Wow.
like Red Bull. It was awful. But
Oh.
did it give me a kick up the arse? Yes, it gave me a kick up the arse. And nothing came out of my arse. So that's a
Okay.
win. So I've ordered loads for the spine. So I thought I could have one every like 5 hours as a treat.
Nice, nice.
And then the other thing is the beta fuel gel jellies, which are really yummy, but I think I've said that before.
Yeah, I like those. I like those as well. Basically anything jelly I've liked in that box. The gel's hit and miss.
Jelly.
I was going to say on Red Bull, here's a good selling point for Red Bull. I went to the endurance session at KMF on Sunday, which was quite an endurance session for me because I'd done my long run before it, then sat in this kind of big auditorium for 2 hours and
Yeah, it
then
would have been an
realized
endurance session for me as well, because who were they interviewing?
I realized I didn't have any snacks in my pocket, and then sat down, realized the panic. Do you know what I mean?
Is there an
And
interval with popcorn and ice
no.
cream and stuff?
And
This
then
is fucking bullshit.
the woman next to me opened a sandwich.
No, she can fuck off as well. If
Oh.
it's endurance, it's survival of the fittest. You should have just taken it from her.
But anyway, Tom Evans was the big guest, and he talked about drinking. Andy Berry kind of basically took the piss out of him for drinking out of his shoe at the end of UTMB. Anyone who didn't see it, he poured some Red Bull into a really disgusting dirty shoe that he'd worn for the race and then drank out of it. And the funny thing was, he said he was ill for 2 days after he did that.
You've got athlete's foot in your belly. Yummy.
How did Tom Evans' illustrious career end? He drank some Red Bull out of his shoe.
God, that's a sort of mythical thing, isn't it? That's a sort of amazing mythical thing.
Yeah, he's going to in give it a couple of months. He'll be in Hannah Rickman's hospital having like some sort of like bacterial worm removed from his stomach.
Rickman's hospital stories. That's a book
Yeah.
in the making. We've had. Oh, guess what?
What?
I've got a new book coming out.
Really? Why haven't you mentioned this before or
It's
talked about it on
well. I announced, there was a big announce yesterday, huge, broke the internet. I'll tell you how many likes it's got. It's got 10,000 views and it's got 5 likes. So, do
Instagram?
you know why that
And
is?
those were from your other Instagram accounts.
That's because I've bought all my followers. So yeah,
Ah.
so there we go. It's got 601 likes and 41 comments, and only one of those is like, this sounds awful. So that's good. So you can go to my,
Was
yeah.
that
You've got no self-control when it comes to writing books.
Marco?
When I yeah, but you can go on my Instagram and you can join the mailing list for the pre-order, which is really important because last time the hardback sold out and everybody got in a mood because there weren't any left. And then this time, there's a pickle bookmark. There's a bookmark with
Yeah.
pickle over it.
And worth pointing out that those hardbacks never go on Amazon or on general sale. They only go through the Vertebrate website, so they're super limited.
Yeah, and they're going to be signed by me. And Pickle's going to do some signing too because she's already ruined the carpet at Vertebrate with
Yeah,
her inky little paws.
she came into our beautiful, pristine office, and Ali got her to got like an ink pad, put her paw in it, and was signing books. And then Pickle walked all around the office, and approximately 2 years later, those stains are still on the carpet.
However, when Pickle passes over the rainbow bridge, that carpet will be worth a lot of money. That'll be like the Turin Shroud of Sheffield. It'll be like people will want it put on a wall and look at it.
There's always a queue of people outside saying, "Can I see
Yeah,
the
like platform 3¾ or whatever of King's Cross. Can I see
Yeah.
the carpet? No. There's like a plastic thing around it. So you have to
Yeah.
look into it, like the tree at Hadrian's Wall.
all you have to do is put £50 into the entry thing, and then you're welcome to go and have a look
John,
at
and if you pay extra, John Barton will do a guided tour around the paw prints for you, show you exactly which toe bean was which.
it.
Sounds legit, Mum. Yeah, it does sound legit. She's licking her paws out, getting ready. So the point of that is, if you could go and join that meeting, that'd be great. I'd quite like this to be a success because I really need a sauna for my garden in my new house in Wales.
And I really like my job.
Thanks. Letters, 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 letters.
We did have some correspondence, didn't
Can I
we?
just say people are not sending enough letters now? Letters has died off a little bit. Let us help you by sending letters. That
That's not going to help. That is
was
not going
good
to
though.
help.
I just made that up on the spot.
So is this the one about running, considering running an ultra?
Go on, you can read this one.
My dream is to run an ultra, which is why I listen to your podcast. It's very inspiring. Oh, that's embarrassing. I
That's
love you the
embarrassing.
best. I don't really like the other two. I can meet the criteria of being about to run, of being able to run for an hour. The furthest I've run is a half marathon, which took me considerably longer. Well, I'm not surprised because that would be world record. Is it realistic I'll be able to run an ultra by early July if I follow the train your training plan, or should I set my sights on a shorter distance and aim for the ultra in 2027? I'm perimenopausal, which affects my energy levels, and also on a weight loss journey, which is very much for health reasons. And I've seen myself get stronger and fitter as a result of this and CrossFit. Oh, sorry, and training and running. Sorry. The ultra is a really big dream because I want to challenge myself beyond anything I imagined I'd be able to do 5 years ago, and I get a boost from running, but I'm not sure if where I am now means I'll get there by July and if it's too much to take on. And I really love that because so many people are, well, they're either ridiculously bullish, aren't they? Like, oh, I've run a park run, I think I'll do a 100 miler, or
Yeah, I've seen those guys doing the spine. I reckon I can do that. I did race to the Carphone Warehouse in 2013. Yeah, I put on a few pounds, but
or they're just like, I could never do that. But what this person's saying is like, I really want to do it, but is it realistic? Is it, can I work my way up to it, or am I better kind of leaving it for a little bit longer and doing something else? So I like it. I think it's a really sensible question. Thoughts?
So this person has she I'm just going back to the thing. She has applied for the she's considering signing up to the Into Ultra self-funded coaching package, which is worth mentioning. So Into Ultra are a charity who their main aim is to get people, you never guess, into Ultra. And they do that by funding race places, coaching and gear and sometimes PTs, and they've got fucking loads of really good partners like Centurion, the Running Monk, me. I think Limitless are one of their partners. They've got loads. Go on their website, they've got loads. And they've put together this little squad of coaches to get people into Ultra so they can do their first Ultra. You can apply through the website, okay? So that's what this lady is considering doing. Now, the problem with this is it's really hard to know what she's doing. She says I'll actually be able to run an ultra by early July. So you need to know which one it is, really, don't you? Because if you're thinking about doing the Dragon's Back, that's one thing. But if you're thinking about doing Race to the Stones, that's quite a different thing. So my advice would be, first off, you need to. There's a believe achieve mentality. There's a chapter in the book about this. On the internet, which is great, but they don't mention the bit in the middle, which is do the work. I think if you have a process, if you put little process goals in place, like right now you can run for an hour. How about you just work on running for an hour and 15 minutes? Then you work on running for an hour and a half. That's how you do it. You just look at what's in front of you rather than looking at what's all the way, looking at the ultra in July. I would just sign up for it now because once it's done, it's done. And it doesn't matter if you don't complete it. You've got that thing that you'll be super excited and super motivated to like crack on, and then don't think about that. So I've got an athlete who's doing a really big race in July, and every time I talk to her, she talks about this race, and I'm like, we don't need to talk about the race because at the moment we're at ground zero. So all we need to talk about is what's happening this week, and that's the key, isn't it? Like, what's going on this week with your training, and then when you get to the end of that week, give yourself a pat on the back, and then go into the next week. Don't look that far ahead. Like when, with Pickle, I don't look at her and think about her dying. And with like my niece, don't look at my niece and think, oh, what's she going to be doing when she's 30, or worry about where she's going to live or where she's going to buy a house, because we're not there yet. We're like here in the moment that we're in. And you can only make those changes in the moment by being mindful of what you're doing right now. I think the furthest I plan ahead is Sunday, because I look at what Holly sends me and I put it all into a diary. And of course, I know I'm going to go on a long run in 3 weeks, or I'm going to go meet the girls in 4 weeks or whatever. But I don't sit here going, what about the spine? What about the spine? What about the spine? Because the spine will just come. And if you're doing the bits every week, if you're just building those blocks really gradually and enjoying the process of what you're doing and going at it from a performance approach mindset of I love doing this, every time I do it, I get a bit fitter, and not worrying about the overall problem or that you perceive as a problem at the end of July. July will just come, and what happens, happens. But it's all about the process, because that ultra is one day of your life, or maybe 2 days of your life, whereas this is 9 months. So enjoy the 9 months and just do what you can do. That's all you can do. You don't need to worry about stuff that's really far down the line. That's kind of how I feel about it. That's how I coach my athletes. I'm like, let's just look at what you're thinking now and how you're doing now, and work on that stuff. It works. Like, some of my athletes hated intervals so bad they'd have like panic attacks. I've encouraged them to cover up their watch and be more like a child in a playground. You know how, like, when you were little, you'd run really fast across the playground. I'm like, do that. Make your coat into a cape. Like, be joyful. Like, just be joyful for moving, and don't worry about how fast you're going, because it doesn't matter. It's totally changed how they do their intervals, and they're getting amazing results because they're doing it with joy rather than constriction. So don't constrict yourself. Like, just be in the run that you're in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So, yeah, that, I mean, my first question would be, what do you enjoy? What do you enjoy doing? Are you enjoying being out for an hour? Do you want to be out for longer? Do you want to mix up some walking and running and extend those long runs longer? If the answer is yes, then that would be like a good sort of natural progression, wouldn't it? And keep up the strength and put some sessions in and stuff like that. But not everyone has to run an ultra. It's not a be all and end all. And also, the thing I always say about races is they're there every year. It's like, if you're not ready for it this July, it'll come around again next July. And the thing about 2025 is there are just like a million races, aren't there? So, yeah, I think if you're naturally enjoying it and enjoying the process, then absolutely go for it. Can I mention a thing that I read this week that might be
Sure, but I just want to say again,
relevant?
if you guys don't know who Inter Ultra are, please follow them on Instagram and go onto their website and have a look at the work they do, because it's absolutely incredible. And I've coached a couple of Inter Ultra athletes who have achieved amazing things, and it's really just a wonderful way of helping people who need a little bit of a leg up to get into the sport. So please go and have a look at the work Inter Ultra do. All the best. Now you can say your bit.
I read a thing this week about Carol Dweck is a psychologist who's like a big mindset sort of person, and she did a I think it was a TED talk or something on the power of not yet.
Ooh.
So she talks about like people approach problems with two mindsets. They either say I'm not smart enough to solve this problem, or they say I haven't managed to solve it yet. She talks about a high school in Chicago where students, if they didn't pass a course, it wasn't pass or fail. They got either pass or not yet. So the message is, if you haven't like got the grade, you understand that you're kind of on a learning curve. You're kind of like on a path rather than I'm thick and I didn't manage to pass the course sort of thing. And I just think it's a really interesting thing, because we all kind of fall into that trap of like, I want to do this, I want to do it now. And like, oh, I'm gonna dream big and do this thing. But actually, like what we should be sort of praising, what Carol's talking about, is her name Carol? Yeah, her name's Carol Dweck, is talking about is with children, you don't want to praise them for being clever or praise them for being talented or whatever. You want to praise the work ethic. So that kind of whole idea of not yet, I think is really interesting. Yeah, that's all I was going to say. That like she could strive for this thing, and if it doesn't come off, like your sub 20 park ride, then it's still it could be a case of okay, didn't get sub 20, but not yet.
And no, that will be a case of done. Romeo done.
Okay,
Mic drop.
bad example.
Also, problem. So glad Holly's not here.
What's the problem?
Oh Christ. Hang on a minute. I've got something I want to talk about. How runners confuse endurance with emotional avoidance. So interesting.
I read something about this the other day.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Now, you know, I didn't want to say where I was doing this bloody park run because I was like, I don't want people to be there.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Do you want them at the end to like go for a bit pints, pints,
Sunday.
pints?
Sunday. Team Hoka. No, not really.
How
You're doing my park run, says
do
Lloyd Watkin. I'm one of
you?
the run. I'm one of the run directors. My daughter and I do the chalking halfway. Fucking hell.
Like, okay, so you've said it publicly, and you said, I presume you said which one it was,
Yeah, I
and
did.
they're being nice. They're just
Yes,
being
I know. But
nice.
now, actually, listen to this. Swansea Bay might be slightly flatter, says Lloyd, but it's windy. But if it's windy, you're fucked. I'm like, damn straight. I went to watch the Swansea 10K. It was horrible. Not doing that. Lloyd says we do a pacer event every now and again. An amazing 17-year-old Welsh footballer does a sub-20. She's rock solid on times. I'm 44. I don't want to be chasing a 17-year-old girl up and down the fucking path in Estelaviro.
Bit ageist.
I said, see, I knew I shouldn't have said which one it was. Crying emoji. He said, crying emoji, not me. He said, there's always one dick that'll DM you about it. I'll forget you said anything. I'm like, no, wait, wait. Can you make it a bit shorter on that day? I said to him. He said, given I'm the person that organises the turnaround point, I'm literally the only person that could. But you didn't say a date, so you say, 6th of December, I said. Then he said, what's your favourite smashing song? I usually have a speaker going, so I've told him to play the Iggy Pop Prodigy remix of Lust for Life on the speaker. He'll be perfectly happy.
So you're running like Renton from Trainspotting.
Basically, yeah, jumping over cars. It is a still a virus, there'll probably be a few crash cars. And that's horrible. Sorry, South Wales. But I'm gonna make it short. I'm gonna get to make it short for me. 2K.
Perfect. That's the
I've
spirit.
smashed it! I've done it in 18 minutes!
What
Well, everybody else on Instagram's doing it, so why not me?
role model you are.
Yeah, I'm gonna have some dramas at the end. I'm gonna have a small team filming me. I'm
Yeah.
gonna have some. It's gonna be, I'm gonna lay on the floor. I'm gonna bite my medal. I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna shit myself. I'm not gonna shit myself actually, because that would look
Yeah.
bad on the South Wales
What if you
evening
don't do it, will
news.
you say it's just not my day? I didn't get the race I
Yeah, I'm gonna
deserved.
stop halfway through and say it's not my sit down cry. And say it's not my day. Yeah, so that's fun, isn't it? Thanks, Lloyd, for your freaking input.
Oh yeah, sorry that people are so nice to you, Ali. Sorry.
Cunts. Sorry, I should say.
Oh God.
We'll beep that out. We won't. We
Oh
won't.
dear.
Anyway, what was I just talking about? Emotional avoidance. The
Emotional
running.
avoidance was
Yeah.
running,
This
yeah.
is really interesting, right? So I've spelled it wrong now. So I've done it wrong. Everything's. Guys, hold the line. Just hold the line for a minute. What else have we got to talk about? Oh yeah, can you share the post? Can you share our Instagram for likes? Thanks. Because
What
we
does
need
that
it.
mean?
It means I want you people to go, this podcast is amazing.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant me.
No, not you.
Also, just whilst you're doing that, somebody messaged and said they wanted a list of the books that we talk about. So we need to find somewhere to put a list of all the books we talk about through the series. I think that would be a really good list.
Yeah, we do, but we need to write the list. Someone needs to write this, Kirsty. When I
I'll write the
say
list.
someone, I mean you, because I'm not doing it.
I'll write the list. Yeah, that's fine.
Kirsty's going to write a list. We're going to put it. Where should we put it? Show
Link.
notes? LinkedIn? We haven't got LinkedIn.
No,
Show notes?
Linktree.
Linktree?
Yeah.
I'll tell
Yeah.
you what we'll do. Put it in the list in the bio. We'll host it as a PDF.
Cool. Perfect.
Happy now.
I'll write it.
Also, I don't know if you guys know this, but you can, if you don't, if you miss something on the podcast, you don't have to ask us what it was. You can just go back and listen to it again. You don't get one go.
No, but people are busy, Ali. They've got other, unbelievably, there are other podcasts.
Yeah, but if you're busy enough to email me and ask something, then you can listen to the podcast again.
Well, I mean, you want correspondence, yet you don't want correspondence. You
I
want
want
people
correspondence,
to,
not people
you
asking
don't
me to
want
do
people.
something they can't be fucked to do.
You don't want people to be at the end of Part Run, but you do want them to be there to shorten it.
You know me, melodrama. How runners confuse endurance with emotional avoidance. Right, this is interesting. Runners are good at pushing through. We train our bodies and our minds to keep going. This is powerful, but it can also become a pattern to watch. This is something I found on Instagram. Sometimes what looks like strength is actually emotional avoidance in running shoes. Do you think you've done that?
Yeah, 100%. We've got a whole book about this called "And So I Run," "And So I
Oh,
Run" by
yeah.
Jamie Doward, who spent his life running away from his problems, and talking about it in a very moving way. So yeah, highly recommend.
This is so Listen to this, everyone. You stay busy so you do not have to feel. You add miles so you do not have to slow down. You stay in motion so you never have to sit with yourself. That was what I was doing when I was drinking. Endurance is a skill, avoidance is a shield. That is such a good line. They feel similar in your body, but they move you in completely different directions. Endurance says, I can stay with this feeling, I can breathe through this, I can meet myself here. And avoidance says, stillness feels unsafe. I need distraction. I need anything that keeps me from what hurts. That's why people don't rest. That's why people can't rest. Like the stillness feels unsafe because they're so used to being on all the time. It's so dangerous because you need that rest in order to build your endurance, basically. One builds resilience, one creates distance from your own truth. If you are unsure which one you're doing, ask yourself this: does this run feel like connection or escape? There's nothing wrong with using running to cope. It can be healing, it can be grounding, and it can help you find your breath again. But your healing deepens when your courage shows up to the quiet moments too, not only in the miles that you run. Endurance is powerful, avoidance is protective. Your work is learning the difference. Your growth is choosing connection with yourself, even when stillness feels harder than the miles. So good. It's so good. Because a lot of the time you get people who say to you, what are you running away from? And sometimes I do it. Like if I'm really emotionally distressed or sad or depressed, I will go out and run. But I will go out and run and I will think about those things. I won't avoid them and like smash myself. I'll think about those things. But I used to just go out and smash myself to pieces or run off a hangover. Whereas now I can honestly say that when I'm out running, 90% or 80% of the time, I'm connecting with myself and being grateful and meeting myself exactly where I am. I went out at the weekend on the Pennine Way with an athlete, two athletes, Jenny and Laura. It was so icy. It was so spiny. It was just ludicrous. It was like a fucking ice rink. And there were times I was like, fucking hell, this is such a waste of time. But then I was like, no. I'm in nature. It's amazing. It's an adventure. Look at how beautiful the ice is. Look at the water running under the ice. Like, look at Kinder Downfall in absolute full spate. It was absolutely incredible. It's cold. The bogs are frozen. It's beautiful. It's sunny. It's not sunny. It's raining. It's not raining. Like that connection with nature and connection with yourself is so important. And the miles just go by, don't they? It doesn't matter how fast they go or how slow they go. It's coming back and being full of energy from that nature. Like that's magic. Whereas the avoidance stuff, if anyone is struggling with that, I'm happy to talk to you because that's what I do. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us do it all the time and do it sometimes. And sometimes it's a really good thing just to get away, just to give your I see it as giving your mind a little reset. Do you know what I mean? You can be like so kind of obsessed with something and then you go for a little run and it just puts it all into perspective and just resets things. And I think that's a positive thing. It's not trying to just get away from the problem. But I know, you know, at certain times in my life, like there are actual runs that I remember. Like after my mum died and stuff, I remember going on this run and I'll always remember that run. You know, because it just gave me that little bit of like respite from all of the kind of horrors and stuff. But one thing I was gonna say about rest, like I struggle with rest. Like I really like to follow a plan, and if I miss a day, like I will kind of really worry about that, because I kind of in my head I kind of think, oh, I've ruined it now. I've like could have missed that one run. I've just really ruined it, which is I know it's ridiculous, but I've been really making a conscious decision to try and rest a bit more recently. Like for instance, that weekend when we were in Wales, I didn't go out with you guys on the Sunday. I went and did a kind of flatter, easier run on my own because I felt like it wasn't the right thing for me to do, and it made me pretty miserable. But I know it was like physically and mentally the right thing for me to do. And actually, on Friday, I mean, here's a good example. And I think I struggle with when, particularly at this time of year, when is it actually best to rest? When is rest best? And when am I actually just being a bit lazy or can't be asked to go out because the weather's bad or whatever? So on Friday, I was at the Mountain Festival all day. I was down there first thing. I think I spoke to like 12 authors or something like that.
That
And
is fucking hardcore.
I mean, they're all lovely and it was really nice, but it's like I work from home. You know, I work in this spare bedroom that I'm in now, and I very rarely like see other people. So to actually kind of go into that environment and see like loads and loads of people, was really exhausting. And I had my run kit in the car, and I thought I'll get either go to the gym and or just go for a little run around Kendal when I finish. I was so tired that I just had to say to myself, I'm not going to get any benefit from this run. I'm going to get more benefit from going home, having a quiet evening, and just resting. And yeah, it's really hard to do, isn't it? And like, I mean, when do you make the decision, like, I'm going to take an extra, not a scheduled rest day, but an extra rest day, and when am I just being like CBA about running?
Well, if that's about being in the week you're in with your training, because I think that, oh, if I miss a day, I've fucked everything, is looking right to the end of the tunnel to look at what you're training for, or to look at the event, or to look at the big picture, which doesn't actually exist yet because we're not there yet, because the only thing that is guaranteed is this minute, right this second. So I always think, like, if I miss a session or if I miss a run, it's then there's a good reason for it. It's because I'm tired. Honestly, it's so rare nowadays because I take my rest really seriously, and that's because you said to me once, rest hard, and I've always kept that in front and center. If I'm
That's a
gonna
Robbie
fucking
Britton. That's a Robbie Britton quote.
train hard, yeah, thank you, Robbie. If I'm gonna train hard, I'm gonna rest hard, and rest hard for me means I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. Big pot of tea, chocolate, dog, all my candles on, or nothing on the TV. Do some wicca. Do some spells, do a few curses, smell some patchouli incense, right? That's what I do, right?
Say,
I
do some sage.
do some sage. Go sage yourself. Hold on to my crystal
Sage
quartzes.
hard.
Yeah, sage hard, motherfuckers. So, but I am grateful for my rest now because of the things, because of what I've seen it do, and because I can just be with Pickle on my own, and I'm so grateful to myself that I've learned how to be by myself with the dog, with my thoughts, and be and like to be content. Right now I've taught myself that through therapy and through like reading books and things like that, but when it comes to like very occasionally I wake up in the morning, I'll be like, I can't do today, I'm too tired, like, can't do the running today, oh my god, I'm so tired. And I'm like, just start and see. I always say, just start and see how it is. And I always just start. I will always just start, and if it's shit, I'll come back, but I don't ever really come back. And I think really just looking at what you've got this week as opposed to for the next 4 weeks helps that, because it doesn't freak you out. It's just this week. You should always have a rest day or two rest days in a week, right? So, and even I'm training for the spine, this might shock people, but I'm only doing 50 mile weeks. Like, that's it. Like, there might be a week that's like 70 miles, 80 miles. Maybe I'm doing a 50K race in a couple of weeks, but it's 50 mile weeks. That's it. It's strength, sessions, long run. And rest. And then as we get towards the spine, it'll be eating, eating, eating. Strength, strength, strength. That's it. And I know I did the Dragon's Back, which was my longest training week of 236 miles. But I rested for 2 weeks after that. So I think really just looking at what you're in right now is really helpful to that. I'm gonna miss a session. Do that, be a grown up. Think about a child. If a child's sick, you know when a child's sick or when the child's putting it on, right? Treat yourself like that child. If you need a day off, have a fucking day off. Don't feel guilty about it. Because at the end of the day, you're part of a very, very small minority of people that is getting out to exercise 5 times a week, because not a lot of people are.
Yeah, I mean, so if I just took last week as an example, like I actually read a thing last week about, well, if you take an extra rest day, you should congratulate yourself. You shouldn't give yourself a hard time. You should celebrate it, like you celebrate your sessions or whatever. So last week, taking an extra rest day on Friday, in the context of my week, I think on Tuesday night I had to go and do a session. And I had a really busy day, and the only time I could do it was like, don't know, like 7 o'clock at night, and it was super claggy. It was starting to rain. It was dark and really cold and a bit icy in places. And I'd gone out with my glasses on, so I could see nothing at all. And it was like, I forget what the session was, but it's like hills, and all I was doing was just like running into puddles, like running off. I was on a sort of little country road, but I was like running off the side of the road, and it was just horrific. And I sort of said to myself,
Why
"Oh,
did you have your glasses on?
because I." It was just a, yeah, I just was just went out like
I
in a
just all I
try
can
and
see
get
is like a little child Hugo
it
putting it on, flapping, bashing into trees.
done. It was just ridiculous. You know, when your head torch is kind of lighting up the clag because you can't see very far
Ah,
anyway.
that of the pen away
It
the
was
other
just,
day. Fucking
honestly, I
joke.
was just like, I could not imagine a more unpleasant run, but I got it done, and it was session, and I got it done. And then on Sunday, I went out with Sam, our friend Sam and Helen and my friend Matt, and it was actually like 50% really beautiful, like rainbows and stuff, but it was shin deep water the whole way. It was just torrential rain towards the end, like everyone was a bit tired and stuff. And you know, like when you just all you think about is getting in a hot shower afterwards. So we all
That's
went.
that I always hold sauna front and center. Sauna. There will
Yeah,
be a time when you can get back in the
we were going back to Matt's house, so he doesn't have a sauna, unfortunately.
sauna.
But yeah, so now I think actually I really congratulate myself on taking that rest day because I was tired. It was KMF. I had loads going on. It was mentally really exhausting. And also, I wasn't being a wimp because the rest of the week I was running in like horrific conditions. I'm all right about that, but it is hard. It's hard for
At the
people, isn't it?
weekend, I had to do a 25 mile, 24 mile on a sat on Saturday, and like 16 mile on Sunday. And on Sunday, I haven't told Holly this, I only did 14 miles, because if I did 16, I wouldn't have got to the sauna in time for my session, and I wouldn't have got to my sound bath. And to me, I'm like, do you know what? It's more important that I do my sauna and my sound bath than I get the 16 miles in. That's more important because I need that time on my own. I need that time to reset. It's really important. It's as important as the running, and it's not going to make any difference. Missing a session, in fact, even missing 2 weeks of training through illness or whatever, it doesn't matter because you will come back. Like, there's not a finite amount of time. Like, you will come back. And if you can't do the race that you want to do because of that, then it'll be there. Like you said, most of the time they're there next year. You don't need to worry about that stuff. Doesn't matter, does it? Like, we need to all just take a little bit of a. As Marco would say, relax. Nabber.
I mean, 14 miles, 16 miles, when you're on the Pennine Way, there's really not much in that, is there? It's time on feet, and it's, yeah. And if you are, I think if you are struggling with taking an extra rest day, or if you are struggling with 14 miles versus 60 miles, you need to sit down and have a really hard look
Quiet
at
word and
why.
self. Yeah.
Just drop Marco.
None of us are professional athletes. Sounds like Marco would
I'm
make
not a
quite a good coach, shouldn't it?
semi-professional athlete.
Relax.
No, anyway, it's hard, but that was a really, really long-winded way of answering that question, wasn't
Yes. Okay, I'm gonna go now. I've got to go on
Okay,
stairs.
bye.
I've got to
See
go on.
ya.
I've got to go on stair stepper. What are you doing this weekend?
This weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm seeing you, I think, on
Oh, you
Saturday.
lucky fucker.
Wow, I can't wait. I just can't wait. I'm seeing Pickle on
Yeah, you
Sunday, and
are.
she's bringing a handler.
Yeah. I'd have to let us get mummy to stay in the car. Thanks, Pickle. She's so embarrassing. Thanks, Pickle. She always looks like she's wearing pyjamas. Thanks, Pickle. I'm going to do the Yorkshire Three Peaks in the middle of the night.
Good for you.
Luckily, by the time we're doing it, oh no, we would have done it already, so.
Good luck.
Thanks, can't wait. Go with Sam and Sour. We're going to have a. It's going to be sad. It's going to be. Oh. If Sam had a Radio 2 show, she could call it Sam's Liss Hour. Sam's Listen Hour. This hour.
That's on that note, we'll end
Okay, I'll
the
cut that out. Okay.
podcast.
Next week. I love you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Running Won't Save You podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, would you mind nipping to Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your pods, and just leaving us a review, but also hitting that subscribe button? God, I hate saying that, but it really does help us with our numbers, and that helps us to attract better sponsors, and that means that we can do this more often. So if you can do that, we will be very grateful. We are on Instagram. It's at Running Won't Save You Pod. And just a quick shout out to some people who I personally support and would love for you guys to check out as well. They are the Green Runners. You can join the Green Runners, get yourself a patch and feel very smug. Pair Ups, who will fix shoes. They send you shoe fixing kits. Look them up on Instagram. Pre-Loved Sports, don't buy new kit. You don't need it. The most sustainable kit you've got is the kit you're already wearing. So head to Pre-Loved Sports website and you'll be able to buy amazing kit super cheap. I bought a Montane Gecko vest the other week for like £30 and I wore it for the Dragon's Back. It was incredible. Into Ultra are a charity who work to make ultra running available to everybody, helping pay for coaching, helping pay for physio, helping pay for race entries. So go over and see what they're doing, see if you can help, see if you can donate. And finally, Reaction Collective, who are an incredible group of people who fix kit, who can recycle kit, and who generally have loads of information about how you can be a bit more of a sustainable runner. We will see you next week.